All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Today is 11/11/25. Happy Veterans Day, by the way, to all those who serve. Thank you for your service. Our top story this morning is SoftBank. I don't know, does this count as the circular, another circular accounting story? You guys let me know. SoftBank is selling NVIDIA stock in order to raise the cash to buy NVIDIA's chips. Well, it kind of sounds circular to me, but I don't know. It's a slightly different brand of circular accounting versus what we've seen, you know, versus your ordinary run-of-the-mill core weave data center credit kind of stuff. But damn if it doesn't smell the same, doesn't it? $5.8 billion worth of NVIDIA shares have been sold by SoftBank. That's the Japanese financial institution, not a bank. They're more like a hedge fund than anything else. They've sold those shares in order to meet their funding commitments. And most of SoftBank's funding commitments involve giving money to companies who are going to use it to buy NVIDIA chips, OpenAI chief among them. So a lot of this money that they raise, they're going to use it to build these Stargate data centers, make some of these silly investments in AI robots. Their CFO said this has nothing to do with NVIDIA themselves, that this is a financing measure. Look, SoftBank has made some pretty lofty promises in recent months, and they're going to have to sell what they can, borrow what they can in order to meet them. And even then, it's probably going to be impossible. But just to list a couple of the things they have going on here, they've got a $20 billion margin loan outstanding against their stake in Arm Holdings. They've got an $8.5 billion bridge loan that they took out to fund their investments in OpenAI. They've got another $6.5 billion bridge loan that they've taken out to fund their investments in Ampere Computing. SoftBank is levered up to the eyeballs. They're borrowing money, and they're using it to keep the AI bubble inflated. And this is just the latest chapter in it. Now, NVIDIA stock was down about 1.75% the last I looked this morning. It's not having a good day, but all things considered, NVIDIA is holding up remarkably well because there's been a lot of bad news for the AI bubble over the last couple of weeks. Well, let me give you some more while we're at it, shall we? My favorite company in the whole wide world, CoreWeave, reported their earnings last night. You know, it actually wasn't that bad of a quarter if you just read the top and bottom line numbers. Revenue, $1.36 billion versus $1.29 billion expected. Big growth in revenue for CoreWeave. The net loss was still $110 million. Now, that was a much smaller net loss than the $245 million that the market was expecting, but still a net loss. Nonetheless, the company forgot to make a profit once again. Remaining performance obligations, $55.6 billion. That's way up from $30.1 billion last quarter. And that would be a very impressive figure if it wasn't for the fact that nobody cares, because remaining performance obligation is a bullshit statistic. It's just the sum value of all the contracts that they've signed with companies that don't have the money needed to fulfill those contracts. It's a stupid measure. Oh, by the way, it also includes contracts and promises from NVIDIA to rent back their own chips that CoreWeave bought from them. See also circular accounting, all that fun stuff. Yeah, so CoreWeave, those numbers, not so terrible. But what really did hurt CoreWeave was they announced delays in completing some of their new capacity due to a third-party vendor running behind schedule. Now, they didn't list who that third-party vendor is. I suspect it's Core Scientific, who CoreWeave signed a big contract with to build their data centers. There's one problem. Core Scientific doesn't know how to build high-performance compute data centers. They've only ever built Bitcoin mines. How hard could it be? Apparently, it's very hard. Also, CoreWeave and Core Scientific had their little falling out. The merger fell apart. That's not happening now. Maybe that caused some delays in the project. Either way, those project delays have caused CoreWeave to lower their guidance for both revenue and CapEx in the upcoming quarter. The market did not like that. JP Morgan downgraded the stock. CoreWeave shares are off by about 10% ahead of the open this morning. We also got reports from Nebius. And Nebius is an interesting case because Nebius is kind of like CoreWeave without the fraud, kind of the same companies, just they're being slightly more honest about it. They reported a bigger than expected loss and a revenue miss over at Nebius. Now, the other interesting thing about Nebius is they use a far more accurate straight line 4-year depreciation cycle versus CoreWeave's straight line 6-year depreciation cycle. That's one reason Nebius loses more money, is because they're honest about their hardware breaking down over time. Michael Burry was out yesterday talking about this very subject. Cassandra himself has broken his silence once again, calling out artificially inflated lifespans of some of this GPU hardware. And, well, all I can say is nobody saw that coming, because I've been talking about that for 2 years, haven't I? Interesting. Funny how that works. Another interesting AI story this morning. C3 AI is up for sale after the CEO abruptly quit for health reasons. By the way, those health reasons include revenue down 19% year over year, the stock down 54% year to date, a net loss of $117 million in the second quarter, and withdrawn guidance in September. Well, I hope you feel better. Another company that ain't going to be around much longer. We've got Meta's chief AI scientist, Yann LeCun, has quit. He's out. I guess he didn't get along so well with Alexander Wang, the CEO of Scale AI that was acqui-hired by Facebook when they bought that company. We've got Beyond Meat had a beyond terrible quarter, revenue down 13%. They lowered their guidance, volume sales down 10.3%, a net loss of $110 million versus a $26 million net loss in the same quarter last year. Terrible numbers for Beyond Meat. Just a reminder, guys, don't go chasing those meme stocks. It never ends well. If you're in it when it happens, great, take profits. Once it's started, it's already over. We've got short-term rental company Sonder has filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy liquidation after cutting ties with Marriott. That was one that went public via SPAC in 2020. Now they're bankrupt. You can add that one to the list. We've got some interesting headlines out of India this morning. India is buying significantly less Russian crude oil this month. Only a few players in India are still buying that Russian crude. One of them is owned by Russia, so that's not surprising. But India appears to be making overtures to reduce that Russian crude oil acquisitions in order to get some kind of a trade deal with the United States. And on that same subject in India, we had near simultaneous explosions yesterday in the capitals of India and Pakistan. New Delhi and Islamabad both had explosions that are being investigated as terrorist attacks. The two sides appear to be blaming each other. Nuclear-armed neighbors who shoot at each other every couple of years. They were at war earlier this year. That's one we're going to have to keep an eye on. So we got our 2020s bingo card update for the day as well. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance this morning, shall we? As always, don't forget that big like button for the YouTube algorithm. And you new guys, hit that subscribe button next to it so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with us melon heads, because we do this one every single day. Right now, the S&P 500 is lower by almost 15 points, 0.21% in the red. The Dow is just barely positive by 46 points or 0.1% to the upside. And the NASDAQ is down 121 points or 0.47%. Not good news in Techville this morning. The dollar's a little bit weaker here, off by 31 basis points at 99.32. That's going to put some upward pressure on asset prices. The bond market, we're no real point in talking about the bond market here, guys, just because it's Veterans Day. The bond market is closed. We have stocks are trading today, but the bond market is closed. That's why if you look here, all of these quotes are from October or November 10th. These are yesterday's. The 10-year yield is still trading internationally. That one's at 4.076, lower by about 3.5 basis points this morning. Thus ends our abridged update on the bond market today. Bitcoin's not looking so hot this morning. We're at $104,301. It's priced on Coinbase, down about $1,600 from yesterday, but still up a little bit versus the end of last week. Bitcoin had a pretty good weekend. Looking over at the commodities board, we've got more green in the metals this morning. Spot gold comfortably above the 4,100 threshold here. $4,138 for spot gold. That's up another $22 this morning, or about 0.5% higher. December gold futures also up $22 or 0.5% at $41.44. Silver having another ripping day here. Spot silver in London, $51.18. That's higher by 67 cents or 1.33%, adding to yesterday's gains. Silver in New York, the December COMEX future at $51.02. That's higher by 73 cents or 1.4% here. Guys, watch that arbitrage. It's been kind of all over the place. It got really small. We actually went into contango a few days ago. Now we're back to 16 cents, 17 cents. worth of backwardation here with the London price now trading a little bit higher than New York. There was a ton of metal, tens of millions of ounces of silver left New York and left Shanghai and went to London to alleviate the shortage. It worked. The price of silver came down several dollars into the high 40s from the mid 50s. However, even though that extra metal showed up in London, now we're starting to see the price grind higher again, and we're starting to see that gap open up. So keep an eye on that gap between the New York and the London silver price. Either way, though, I like the shiny. Copper is the lone one in the red here, off by about 2 cents this morning. Platinum is up about 0.4%. Palladium up 1.1%. And WTI crude oil is up about 1% here, $60.70 for December WTI futures. All right, let's talk about the big one this morning. SoftBank sells NVIDIA stake for $5.8 billion to fund AI bets. Selling NVIDIA shares to buy NVIDIA chips. The snake eating its own tail. Round and round we go, much like the carousel in the circle of trust. SoftBank sold its entire stake in NVIDIA for $5.83 billion to help bankroll AI investments, even as investors question the amount of capital pouring into a technology with uncertain returns. Hey, you misspelled none. No returns. Doesn't have any. It's certainly not uncertain. It is certainly zero, but I digress. The NVIDIA stake sale highlights how founder Masayoshi Son needs money to chase a plethora of projects that range from Stargate data centers to AI robot manufacturing sites in the U.S. Its exit coincides with a growing debate about whether spending by big tech firms from Meta platforms to Alphabet, expected to surpass $1 trillion in coming years, will produce commensurate returns. It won't. NVIDIA stock was down 1.3% in pre-market trading. SoftBank is keen to become a leading player in that growing ecosystem, with plans to leverage stakes in sector linchpins from OpenAI to U.S. chip designer Ampere Computing. On Tuesday, SoftBank executives sidestepped questions about whether the industry is fomenting an AI investment bubble and said the sale had nothing to do with NVIDIA itself, but was a necessary financing measure. I can't say if we're in an AI bubble or not, said CFO Yoshimitsu Goto during the earnings conference Tuesday. SoftBank sold NVIDIA so that the capital can be utilized for our financing, he added, without elaborating. Let's just talk a little bit, because SoftBank is not just selling their NVIDIA stock, is also taking on a lot of debt to finance these infrastructure investments. The company expanded a margin loan using its Arm Holdings PLC shares to $20 billion from $13.5 billion, of which $11.5 billion remains available. It also obtained a bridge loan of $8.5 billion to fund its injection into OpenAI, as well as another bridge loan that was $6.5 billion for the Ampere deal. Borrowing a lot of money, and ultimately, where's all this money that they're borrowing and all this asset sales? Where's all this money going? It is flowing through intermediaries into NVIDIA, which is why NVIDIA is probably going to report a pretty amazing quarter when they report, I believe, next week. But it may not matter. We've seen a lot of companies report better than expected quarters, and their stocks still sold off. Case in point, Palantir posted a great quarter, didn't help their stock any. But for now, NVIDIA is holding up all right. It's down about 2.1% ahead of the open, trading at $194.89, still just barely off of an all-time high here. All right, now let's talk about my favorite AI company, CoreWeave. Beats on earnings, but a data center delay is dragging on the stock. While CoreWeave locked down several large cloud deals in the third quarter, an unexpected delay in delivering capacity has some investors concerned. CoreWeave's third quarter earnings report showed that demand for artificial intelligence computing is alive and well, totally fake and manufactured, as the company posted $1.36 billion in revenue for the quarter, soaring past Wall Street consensus expectations for $1.29 billion. However, shares of CoreWeave fell 6% in after-hours trading after the company said that it was experiencing delays delivering capacity to one customer, resulting in a financial impact to the fourth quarter. Despite the roadblock, CoreWeave reported steady momentum with its remaining performance obligations or the future revenue from contracts not yet fulfilled. The cloud company's RPO swelled to $55.6 billion from $30.1 billion last quarter, thanks to several multi-million dollar contracts with high-profile customers such as OpenAI, Meta, and NVIDIA that were signed in the third quarter. And right away, let's take Meta out of there, because Meta doesn't care how much money they lose. See also the Metaverse. OpenAI doesn't have the money to pay CoreWeave the contract that they signed, and NVIDIA is just backstopping their own sales. It's more circular accounting. They're referencing this as if it's an example of why CoreWeave is so successful. It's a perfect example of why this bubble is so fake and contrived. And yet MarketWatch is like, oh my God, this company's so great. I mean, just good God. Good God, Dow Jones, what the hell have you done to your integrity here? And remaining performance obligations is a totally BS statistic. It's just the sum of all the contracts that they've signed, non-binding contracts with companies that don't have the money. It means nothing. But on the earnings call, CoreWeave management said that the delays in delivering capacity were due to a third-party data center developer running behind schedule. I want to send a shout out to Ed Zitron, who called out in some of his blog posts, Where's Your Ed At, over the last couple of months. He mentioned how CoreWeave was contracting with Core Scientific to build all these high-performance compute AI data centers, and that Core Scientific is a Bitcoin miner. They don't know how to build high-performance compute. Now, this didn't specifically say it was Core Scientific that's having the problem, but I suspect it is, and if it is, that means Ed Zitron was right on the money with that call, so good job, Ed. The development led CoreWeave to lower its 2025 full-year revenue guidance to between $5.05 billion and $5.15 billion, down from the prior range of $5.15 to $5.25 billion projected in August. Agarwal noted that there have been no changes to the contract with the impacted customer. Let's see. We also have, as a result of the delay, CoreWeave management lowered the company's full-year CapEx outlook to between $12 and $14 billion, down from the $20 to $23 billion estimate from August. The CapEx originally anticipated for the fourth quarter is now anticipated to be recognized in the first quarter of 2026. So that may be material to NVIDIA's earnings, their big drop in their CapEx plans. CoreWeave stock not looking so good here this morning. But real quick, I just want to mention, CoreWeave founder Michael Intrator came out and said something about how, oh, the depreciation thing that Burry was talking about was inaccurate. We'll get to that in a minute. Let me pause that one here. Let's just look at CoreWeave shares. Down 8%, 8.1%. It was off almost 10% not too long ago. So I guess it's looking okay here. It could be a lot worse considering they were off by 10, but $97.10 for CoreWeave shares. Real quick, let's do Nebius also. Nebius is basically CoreWeave's more honest cousin. Nebius reports a bigger Q3 net income loss and announces a Meta AI deal. Nebius rose after reporting a higher net income loss than expected for its third quarter, while revenue missed amid an accounting charge. Let me just take issue right away with the way they report this. They almost put a positive spin on it. Nebius rose after reporting a higher net income loss. It almost sounds like a beat, but they reported a higher loss. So no, they didn't beat. And the stock rose very briefly for a couple of seconds, and now it's down. So the kind of dishonest reporting here, or at the very least, very bad word choice. The Netherlands-based company also announced an agreement to deliver artificial intelligence compute infrastructure to Meta Platforms. Nebius stock wavered early Tuesday. Nebius earnings were released before the market opened. The Meta deal is valued at approximately $3 billion over 5 years. Microsoft recently signed a $19 billion deal with Nebius. Also, Nebius on Tuesday announced an equity offering of 25 million Class A shares to raise capital for data center buildouts. Instead of going into debt, they're diluting shareholders, which is not good for the stock, but more responsible in the long term. It's better finances. In the September quarter, Nebius said it posted a net income loss of nearly $120 million, widening from $43.6 million a year earlier. These are not profitable businesses, guys. Revenue, though, rose 355% to $146.1 million, excluding discontinued operations from AI data firm Toloka, that company said. Wall Street analysts had projected net income of a loss of $97 million for Nebius on revenue of $155. So this was a miss on the top and bottom line for Nebius. Plus, they're diluting shareholders. And look at this. The stock is up 2.3%. That's interesting. Nothing. No BS about remaining performance obligations. None of that garbage. Actually posted honest numbers. They actually reflected the rate of depreciation of their equipment, and the stock is up. How about that? All right, let's talk about Dr. Burry, shall we? Of Big Short fame, Michael Burry says Oracle and Meta are wildly overvalued, and here's the root of his criticism. It's depreciation, something we have been talking about a lot on this channel. Understanding depreciation is a fraud of the modern era says investor, but old chips are still in demand, says CEO, who's lying through his teeth. Michael Burry, the hedge fund manager of the Big Short fame, who is betting against two of the stock market's favorite AI plays, is back with a new criticism of valuations in the sector. In a posting on social media service X, Burry went through the depreciation schedules of networking and computing assets of the major hyperscalers, Meta, Alphabet, Oracle, Microsoft, and Amazon, all of which depreciate over 5 to 6 years. He's of the view that depreciation should be much faster. Understating depreciation by extending useful life of assets artificially boosts earnings, one of the more common frauds of the modern era. Massively ramping CapEx through purchase of NVIDIA chips or servers on a 2 to 3 year product cycle should not result in the extension of useful lives of compute equipment, he says. He estimates that this longer depreciation schedule will result in earnings being overstated by some $176 billion between 2026 and 28, with Oracle's earnings overstated by 27% and Meta's by 21% based on his calculations. Burry promised more details later this month. It's true that NVIDIA, one of the companies that Burry is betting against alongside Palantir, is continually releasing new models. Next year, it will release the Vera Rubin line after launching Blackwell this year. But old NVIDIA chips like the A100 that first debuted in 2020 are still very much in use now in the U.S. and in China. CoreWeave chairman and CEO Michael Intrator told analysts on a call Monday night that demand for old chips remains strong. Demand for AI cloud technology remains robust across generations of GPUs, he said, according to a transcript from S&P Global Market Intelligence. Intrator said one customer recontracted to use H100 chips first introduced in 2022 at a price within 5% of the original agreement. Oh, wow. Gee, our old H100, somebody wants to continue renting them within 5% of the original, right? Because lots of people pay MSRP for used compute equipment, right? No, they don't. Jim Chanos correctly calling out CoreWeave CEO Michael Intrator for being full of it. Jim Chanos says, and yet despite CoreWeave having clients willing to re-up, air quotes, fully depreciated GPU contracts within 5% of original contract prices, despite all of that, somehow their margins are going down? LOL, okay. Chanos is correctly calling this out. Look, CoreWeave says one customer, one of their clients is willing to contract H100s at 5% of the original contract price. You think maybe that one customer is NVIDIA, who has already agreed to buy back any or rent back any unused GPU clusters, because that's the only way NVIDIA was able to get CoreWeave to buy this crap to begin with money, by the way, that was borrowed against those GPUs. Oh my God, the circular accounting here is so awful. Tell me it's NVIDIA without telling me it's NVIDIA. It's just NVIDIA backstopping their own sales. And Michael Intrator holds this up like, look, our clients love our product. That's because your clients are the same people who sell your product, you schmuck. Jim Chanos, thank you, sir, for calling out CoreWeave CEO Michael Intrator, who, by the way, is just one of the worst liars I've ever seen. I've played a couple of clips of Michael Intrator over the last few weeks on my channel. Tell me that guy doesn't just make your skin crawl. How do you know he's full of shit? Probably because his mouth is moving. That's how you can tell Michael Intrator's lying. All right, we got another one this morning. C3 AI weighs sale after founder CEO Siebel steps aside, sources say. This is another one that will be quickly swept into the dustbin of AI bubble history. Enterprise artificial intelligence software provider C3 AI is exploring a potential sale among other options after Thomas Seibel recently stepped down as CEO over health concerns, according to three people familiar with the matter. Let's see if we can see what those health concerns might be. C3 AI has a market value of $2.15 billion. Their stock has fallen more than 54% year to date amid worsening financial performance and uncertainty over its strategy and leadership. The company reported a net loss of $116.8 million or 86 cents a share for the fiscal first quarter ended July 31st. Revenue fell 19% to $70.3 million from $87.2 million during the same quarter a year ago. And C3 AI also withdrew its full-year financial outlook when it reported earnings on September 3rd, which it attributed to the CEO change and a restructuring of its sales and services operations. Yeah, give it to me straight, Doc. Yeah, you're sick of your company is what you are. C3 AI, just not going to make it here, guys. This one's not looking so good here. Whatever those health reasons, they sure as heck look financial. C3 AI stock is at $15.40, down by 4.1% here. Let's look at this thing year to date. off by 53.3%. I don't know if this one is halted here or what, but probably not going well here. I don't think this one's going to make it. All right, let's talk about some people that are up and moving around right now. Meta's chief AI scientist, Yann LeCun, plans to exit to launch a startup, Financial Times reports. Look, Meta's been kind of like poaching people all over the AI industry, paying big bucks to acquihire people from all these other firms. Now their chief AI scientist is doing his own thing. I'm not sure what to make of this one. Meta's chief AI scientist, Yann LeCun, is planning to leave the social media company to set up his own startup, the Financial Times reported on Tuesday, citing people familiar with the matter. There he is there, not looking so happy in that picture. Deep learning pioneer LeCun is also in early talks to raise funds for a new venture, according to the report. The owner of Facebook and Instagram has significantly increased its investments in AI, with CEO Mark Zuckerberg reorganizing the company's AI initiatives under Super Intelligence Labs. Zuckerberg hired Alexander Wang, former CEO of data labeling startup Scale AI, to lead the new AI effort. As a result, LeCun, who had reported to Chief Product Officer Chris Cox, is now reporting to Wang, the report said. LeCun and Meta did not immediately respond to Reuters' request for comment. So it's possible that Yann LeCun wasn't really getting along with Alexander Wang, who's like a 19-year-old billionaire, one of the youngest ever. I can see how personalities might clash there. Either way, Meta's chief AI scientist, he's out of there. Meta stock down about 0.5% here this morning, trading $627.90. And also, I want to give my moderator, Mish, a shout-out. He spotted this one right before we went live as well. Intel's chief technology and AI officer has left the company to take a role at OpenAI, where he'll work on the startup infrastructure efforts. This one was posted in Zero Hedge at 8:30. So, look, we got C3AI CEO quitting for health reasons. We've got Meta's chief scientist is starting his own company. Intel's chief technology and AI officer, he's out. He's over to OpenAI. A lot of things are in motion this morning in the AI bubble as SoftBank dumps their stake and the NeoClouds report lousy earnings. Guys, this bubble is on borrowed time. Any day now. Any freaking day now. And it can't happen soon enough. The longer it takes, the worse it gets for the average person. Meanwhile, Beyond Meat's losses widen as demand shrinks. Is it meme stock? Is its meme stock run over? My meme stock runneth over? Is that what's going on? I don't know. Yes, the meme stock run is over. Beyond Meat is wrestling with diminished appeal of its meat substitute products because this stuff is freaking disgusting and nobody will buy it because nobody will eat it. Shares of Beyond Meat fell about 9% in extended trading Monday after the company warned of weaker sales in the current quarter following wider losses and sales that slipped in the third quarter amid dwindling demand for its mystery meat. For the quarter ended September 27th, Beyond Meat's revenue fell 13.3% year over year to $70.2 million, but still topped the consensus estimate of $69 million. Wow, so revenue fell 13% but beat estimates. Those were some pretty lousy estimates. For the fourth quarter, Beyond Meat expects net revenues between $60 and $65 million, well below the estimates of $70.1. So they're still getting worse. Third quarter revenue took a hit from a 10.3% drop in volume of products sold. This was driven by weak category demand, reduced points of distribution in U.S. retail stores, and lower sales of burger products to some international restaurant customers, Beyond Meat said. Well, there's always the dog food people. Beyond Meat's revenue was also impacted by a 3.5% decline in net revenue per pound, driven by higher trade discounts, changes in product sales mix, and price cuts. Beyond Meat stock not looking good this morning here, down 7%, $1.26. For Beyond Meat, off by about 7-8 cents here. Year to date, this one is down 64.5%. Beyond Meat did have a nice little spike there in mid-October when the Reddit traders got a hold of this one. It did not last, and we're now back down. Not quite as bad as we were. We were down around 47 cents when this meme stock run started. So we're still up over 100, almost 200% from that level, but we're getting back down there pretty fast here. Meanwhile, Sonder to file for bankruptcy and liquidate after Marriott cuts ties. Another SPAC, and this one specializing in short-term rentals, has gone kaput. Sonder Holdings, a boutique apartment rental company, said it's going to file for bankruptcy after the cash-strapped company lost a key partnership with Marriott International. The firm will wind down operations immediately through a Chapter 7 liquidation of its U.S. business, according to a Monday statement. So they're just selling everything. They're not even going to try to reorganize. The decision came one day after Marriott International terminated a licensing agreement with Sonder because of prolonged challenges in the integration of its technology, Sonder said. We're devastated to reach a point where liquidation is the only viable path forward, said Janice Sears, interim CEO of Sonder, in the statement. Sonder's integration with Marriott International was substantially delayed due to challenges in aligning their technology frameworks, which led to mounting costs, and it also faced a decline in revenue from Sonder's participation in Marriott Bonvoy's reservation system. Look, all Sonder did was they bought huge blocks of rooms in Marriott hotels. They paid long-term rates for them, and then they raised the price and tried to sell them short-term. It was WeWork with hotel rooms. That's all this company was. It was a stupid business model to begin with. Sonder went public in January of 2022 via a merger with a blank check company and had a peak valuation of $2.3 billion before losing most of its value. Dozens of companies that went public through SPAC mergers have filed bankruptcy following a COVID-19 era boom, representing billions of dollars in investors' losses. It's almost like when you print trillions of dollars in helicopter money and then you distributed it all throughout the economy, a lot of that money ends up getting wasted. When you treat your money like it has no value, it has no value. Amazing how that works. Sonder stock down 24% after falling more than 60% yesterday, trading at just 15 cents, now down almost 94% for the year. This one's a zero, folks. Doubt they're going to get much back when they liquidate everything. All right. Meanwhile, we got some stories out of Southeast Asia to keep an eye on here. First, let's start with most Indian oil refiners skip buying Russian crude for December. This one may impact the trade war and the tariffs, which are still lingering in the Supreme Court, by the way. India has scaled back purchases of Russian crude for arrival in December, showing that Western sanctions and trade talks with the U.S. are having a major impact on buying patterns. Five big Indian refiners haven't placed any orders for Russia oil for next month, according to people familiar with the matter, who, of course, asked not to be named due to the sensitivity of the trade. Typically, deals for crude for the following month are done by the 10th of the current month. Well, it's now the 11th. The shift in purchasing by the world's third largest oil importer comes after President Trump doubled tariffs on all Indian imports to 50% in August and then sanctioned Russia's two biggest oil producers, Rosneft and Lukoil. This was last month. India had become heavily reliant on discounted Russian crude over the last few years and faced U.S. accusations that it was helping to fund the Kremlin's war in Ukraine. The five refiners, Reliance Industries, Bharat Petroleum, Hindustan Petroleum, Mangalore Refinery and Petrochemicals, and HPCL Middle Energy accounted for two-thirds of India's imports of Russian oil so far this year, based on Kepler data. Their caution may be partially due to trade negotiations between New Delhi and Washington. Trump said Monday the two countries were getting pretty close to a deal. India has pledged to buy more crude from the U.S. as part of the talks, the people said. Only two processors, Indian Oil Corp and Nayara Energy, have bought some Russian crude for December. IOC has purchased from non-sanctioned sellers, while Nayara, which is part owned by Rosneft, continues to rely solely on Russian crude. So India is buying less Russian oil as an overture to the U.S., according to people familiar with the matter. Of course, there's an asterisk here. And we've got another one to keep an eye on here, guys. Blasts rock the capital of India and Pakistan, heightening tensions. Near simultaneous explosions in the capitals of two nuclear-armed neighbors, a very 2020s headline. Deadly explosions in the capitals of India and Pakistan within 24 hours of each other killed at least 20 people and left several injured, heightening concern of renewed tensions between the nuclear-armed neighbors. Even as Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government was still investigating the cause of the blast in New Delhi Monday evening, when a car slowed down at a traffic light near the historic Red Fort and exploded, a suicide bomber outside a crowded court building in Islamabad blew himself up on Tuesday afternoon after he was denied entry into the premises. In a statement, the Prime Minister's office in Islamabad accused India of backing terrorist attacks in Pakistan from Afghan territory and described Tuesday's incident as one of the worst examples of Indian state-sponsored terrorism in the region. The statement offered no evidence linking the blast to New Delhi and comes amid a pattern of similar accusations by Islamabad. Early in the day, Modi had pledged to punish the conspirators behind the Delhi blast, but stopped short of naming any suspects or labeling the explosion a terror attack. All right, so that's all we got on that one, guys. Just keep an eye on that one. India and Pakistan have already been shooting at each other once this year. We avoided that escalating, so hopefully cooler heads can prevail once again. And I just want to say thank you very much to our very own M&J. Thank you so much, M&J, for supporting the channel. She says, thank you for your service to all our beloved veterans. Thank you very much to our vets as well. Appreciate everything you guys do, as well as you, M&J. Thank you for supporting the channel. Secret Squirrel, you squirrely SOB. You, what's going on? He just he sends good vibes, apparently. Nothing to say, no text messages. So Secret Squirrel, he's just secretly slipping a super chat in there. Thank you so much. Oh, wait, he's back here. There's the Secret Squirrel. He says, Nebius equals Yandex equals Russia. Sure, nothing can go wrong. All right, I'm vaguely familiar with this story. Vaguely familiar. Yandex was a Russian company, and then they were, correct me if I'm wrong, don't quote me on this, but I believe Nebius was spun off of this Russian company shortly after the Russian invasion of Ukraine in order to avoid sanctions. So yes, there is, let's just say, I guess you don't need one of these to call out the Russian connections in Nebius there. I mean, it's pretty well documented. I'm pretty sure the Wikipedia page has it as well. Yeah, what could go wrong? That's a fair criticism there, Secret Squirrel. Appreciate the super chat and the support of the channel. And I can tell you, as much as that kind of skeeves me out, compared to what the CoreWeave guys have been up to, Nebius is like the Boy Scout of the Neo Clouds. They really are. And that's, I guess that's not saying very much. Hey, thanks again, Secret Squirrel. Appreciate the support of the channel. Miniature Painter, thank you very much for being a Melonhead member. Welcome to the Melon Patch. Appreciate that very much. Kyle Seals is also a new Melonhead member. Thank you so much for supporting the channel, guys. Appreciate it. And while we're at it, Kyle and Miniature Painter and also Metal Seer has gifted one Nobody Special Finance membership. Look at all of these baby melons growing in the Melon Patch. I just love it. Thank you, Metal Seer, for supporting the channel. Hey, there's my buddy Travis from Real Estate Mindset, who will be coming on the channel along with his buddy Mitch later today. We're going to be talking about all kinds of things. He says, do you think one day we might be blessed with a 60-year mortgage? Those are rookie numbers, Travis. You got to bump them up, baby. Come on, rookie numbers in this racket. Let's make it a full C note, shall we? How about a 100-year mortgage? Better yet, let's make these mortgages non-transferable within or outside the family so that when you sign up for a 100-year mortgage, your unborn children are obligated to pay your debts. You can't even sell your way out of it. Let's do the whole, like, the debts of the father passed on to the son thing. Since we're going feudal here, like, come on, man. The road to serfdom, paid with good intentions, right? Let's do it. Hey, Travis, thank you for supporting the channel, brother, you bonkers SOB. And look for that video later today with Travis and Mitch. Madison Hype says, can you go through the AI round tripping slowly for me? All right, Madison, I give you money, an investment in your company. You give me money to buy, say, my tinfoil hat. And then I go say, look, tinfoil hat sales are up. Look at all the money I'm making. That's basically it. Round tripping, simply put, you give your customers money so they can give it to you and you report it as revenue. That's round tripping. You can call it vendor financing. You can call it strategic investment. You can call it whatever the heck you want. At the end of the day, it's your money going around in a circle to make it look like your business is booming. And NVIDIA has done this to a grotesque extent. CoreWeave has done it. Microsoft has done it with OpenAI. Google and Amazon have done it with Anthropic. They're all doing it here. They're just sending money around in circles. And, well, it's now a $20 trillion bubble. And I tried to warn them back when it was only like a $3 trillion bubble. So, hey, what do I know? I was just the guy who's been right this whole time. Nobody saw that one coming. Thank you, Madison, for supporting the channel, for being a Melonhead member for 13 months. Another way to put it, I've used a metaphor of dad buying the lemonade from the daughter's lemonade stand, and then dad going to the bank and acting like the daughter's lemonade stand income is money that the family can claim on their taxes and borrow money against. It's just dad's money going around in a circle through his daughter as an intermediary. Thank you very much, Madison, for supporting the channel. And thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Don't forget that like button on the way out and that subscribe button, you new guys. Come on back tomorrow. Thank you very much for all the super chats. Welcome to all you Melonhead members. Thank you to our veterans for your service. Appreciate that very much. Also, thank you to my magnanimous Melonheads on YouTube and Patreon. Links down below, should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.